Mrs. Ennis, Prasada Mondi, and Chin Zahu. Prasad is a senior software engineer working in level 2 support and has expertise in multiple Webster products in the SOA space. Prasad works with customers worldwide with focus on integration problems as well as work with products troubleshooting issues. Chin is an advisory software engineer and works in data power support. He also works with SQA team to review test cases and develops test plans for product integration issues with MQ, JMS, WMB, WFSR, and UDDI. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Prasad and Chin.
Thank you, Elijah. Welcome to the presentation, Integrating Data Power with WebSphere Service Registry and Repository. My name is Prasad Imandi. I work with the Level 2 team for WSRR as well as a couple of other products. At this time, I'd let my co-speaker introduce himself before I start.
Yeah, welcome to the presentation. And my name is Chin Sahu, and I work with the Data Power Level 2 support. And also, we work with the test team to integrate the different products with the Data Power.
Thank you, Chin. The way we're going to do this is I will start off this presentation and give a little background about this integration and some configuration steps, and subsequently turn this over to Chin to give more specifics and details about data power configuration, and then we'll move on to troubleshooting and error handling for this integration scenario. Before I start, I'd like to mention a couple of things. This presentation has some charts which have graphics and images, and it's possible due to network latencies or otherwise the refresh of the screen might be a little slow. So it's recommended that you have a hard copy available in case you need to switch over, or you have a PDF document of this presentation. And secondly, I will be referring to WebSphere Service Registry and Repository as WSRR as we go forward, just to use the short name of the product instead of saying the product name completely. Next file, please. Over the next 45 to 50 minutes or so, we're going to talk about this integration of data power with WSRR, and we're going to provide you with the configuration steps that you'll need to go through to achieve this integration. This is, as advertised, this is an introductory presentation with the focus of giving you the stepwise approach to achieve this integration. And also, Chin is going to, as you go through this integration, if you have any problems or if you need to troubleshoot, you know, Chin is going to discuss the troubleshooting functionality. And we do assume some basic knowledge of data power and WSRR, and we hope this would be very helpful for those of you who are just starting with this product and would like to achieve this. Integration between the two products. Next file, please. Over the next 45 or 50 minutes, we'll actually start with the usage pattern for this integration. And when I say the usage pattern, I'm referring to the various enterprise service bus patterns that are available. We'll talk about that just to set the stage as we go into this integration and in terms of what you can achieve, and subsequently move on to the actual configuration steps involved, starting with WSRR and subsequently with data power, followed by error handling and how you can handle errors between service providers and service consumers with this type of integration, and move on to troubleshooting and a quick summary followed by question and answers. Next file, please. There are several enterprise service bus integration patterns available. to name a few, for example, transformation pattern where you actually achieve a certain transformation within your enterprise service bus, or routing pattern, or even protocol switching pattern where you are switching, for example, the incoming input could be a JMS or MQ, and whereas the backend service provider could be a web services-based, HTTP-based provider. So out of these several patterns available, and there are an extensive set of enterprise service bus patterns, out of the several patterns available, this integration scenario fits very well with the gateway pattern, which is where data power device actually plays a very key role and has the functionality to act as a gateway by being a controlling point to decouple service requesters and service providers and map service endpoints, so the service requesters have no knowledge of the location or the specifics of service providers other than knowing the endpoint. And besides that, data power actually has a number of other key functionalities like logging and audit capabilities and implementing security, XML acceleration, and also mediation logic. And overall, as you go into this integration, what you're going to achieve is the use of data power as a gateway ESB, as the ESB gateway pattern, and achieve decoupling service requesters and service providers. Next foil, please. Data power out of the box, so to speak, or data power as such provides provides functionality to actually achieve decoupling of service requesters and service providers through the web services proxy object. And it's a functionality that is built into data power where you can define a web services proxy and load a WSDL and thus achieve, you know, certain amount of decoupling between requesters and providers. However, by creating a proxy to use and load a WSDL for the service provider, there is a certain amount of manual intervention involved whenever there are changes to this endpoint. For example, the provider changes locations or there's a failover, so the provider has moved to a different machine, or the provider endpoint has some changes. And every time you have any changes on your backend, you're looking at manually updating this web service proxy definition, and so it's not a very good scenario and doesn't provide true service virtualization where you are totally decoupling service requesters and service providers. And by having this manual intervention, it is going to actually lead towards lack of dynamic handling dynamic changes within your backend services. And to kind of achieve this dynamic lookup to backend services, that's where this integration plays a key role, wherein within the web service proxy, you can actually subscribe to a service that is already loaded in WSRR and is available for data power or for your other enterprise service bus applications, where you can do a lookup into WSRR and retrieve the service and hence achieve total dynamic service lookups, where any changes will automatically be picked up through the subscription, and the only manual intervention would be updating the service to WSRR, which automatically happens whenever there are changes within services or properties of services or any changes in the artifacts of services. And once WSRR is updated with the new service location or a new service WSDL, data power will automatically dynamically pick up this new endpoint, which will result in a total decoupling of service requesters and service providers, and hence you can achieve service virtualization. Next foil, please. I'm going to now give a very brief introduction of WSRR. This presentation is not really about WSRR, but I wanted to include this chart and talk about WSRR briefly for those of you who are fairly new to the product. WSRR is a product that works very well in service-oriented architecture solutions, where it will allow you to publish your services to the registry repository and allow service reuse and increase or facilitate reusability of services. It'll allow finding of existing services, so you can subscribe to services in WSRR, look up on services in WSRR, and enable runtimes to dynamically interact with changing backend service providers, wherein, as we just discussed a couple of minutes ago, if there is any changes in your services, once the new information, the new properties for the service are updated in WSRR, the runtimes are capable of automatically, dynamically changing their behavior and routing the service request to the correct backends. WSRR also, besides providing this functionality, it also has functionalities to enable governance and to implement service life cycles, and it works very well with the SOA, the service-oriented architecture life cycle of model, assemble, deploy, and manage. If you need more information on WSRR, I would recommend you go to the WSRR product web page, which you can easily Google and find out. Next foil, please. Now that we've talked a little bit about the ESB pattern, this integration fits very well under and had a quick introduction to WSRR. Let's actually move on to the configuration of this integration. And as I stated earlier, one of the first things that need to happen for this integration is the service must be available in WSRR, and that's where we're going to start. We're going to start with loading the web service to WSRR. That would be the actual WSDL referring to the service provider. And you can do that using the web service, the WSRR user interface, which actually we'll look at the screenshot of that in the next foil. So the steps for this integration are you have to have the WSDL available in WSRR to be subscribed to, and once that's done, you move on to the data power device and configure WSRR server object and WSRR subscription object, and then configure the web service proxy. And subsequently, you have to create a local endpoint using the HTTP front-side handler. And further, you can also create service-level monitoring if you choose to, which is more of an advanced functionality. So we're not going to cover service-level monitoring in this presentation, but I'll just include here more as a for your information sake. Next chart, please. This is the first, this is a screenshot of WSRR user interface, and we are on page 8 for those of you who are referring to the hard copy of this presentation. WSRR provides a fairly basic and simple to use user interface, as you can see from this chart. You have a very easy way to load documents, and in this chart we are showing you that we're loading an order service WSDL, and you can actually provide a version for this version number for this WSDL in case you want to get into version control of your WSDLs or get into governance of WSDLs. And the latest Data Power release, I believe 3.7.1, actually has a way to use this property in the subscription, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute. Next chart, please. And this chart, which is page 9, is more or less an extension of what I showed you in the previous chart, which is loading the web service into WSRR. And WSRR automatically will prompt you to resolve the dependent artifacts like dependent schemas, or if it's a multi-file WSDL, then it will prompt you for the dependent objects for this WSDL based on the imports that are available, that are provided within the main web service WSDL. Next chart, please. I'm just waiting for the next chart to show up. Obviously, it looks like we have a bit of a network latency here. Yep. Moving on to page 10. Now that we've ensured that the WSRR part of this configuration is done, as in the service is loaded, it's available for Data Power to subscribe to, let's move on to the Data Power part of this configuration. There are a couple of ways that you can configure Data Power. Either you can use the web GUI, or you can use the CLI commands. Throughout this presentation, we're going to mainly talk about the web GUI configuration, or the configuration steps you need to take using web GUI. Towards the end of this presentation, we've actually included the CLI commands that you can use to achieve the same configuration that we're going to show you using web GUI. And for those of you who are more into CLI commands, we hope that you'll find that helpful. Though we're not going to actually go through the CLI commands, but we've provided them for you in case you prefer to use CLI commands. Moving on to the next foil. As I just mentioned, let's start looking at the configuration steps needed for integrating Data Power with WSRR using Data Power Web GUI. The first step that you'll need to do is to create a WSRR server object. And the path within the Web GUI for Data Power is shown on this on the bullet in this chart, which is, you go into Objects Configuration, and that's where you have the WSRR server object, where you add your WSRR server, and you'll be prompted to provide the web service interface URL for your WSRR server, and which is shown highlighted at the bottom of this chart, once you provide it as a very basic configuration, assuming your WSRR server does not have security enabled, that's pretty much what you'll have to do. You'll have to provide the web service interface URL, or the SOAP URL, within your WSRR server object definition. However, if you have security enabled, then you will have to ensure you have the appropriate other fields properly coded, as in the username, password, or if you're using SSL, then you've got to provide the SSL proxy profile. Next chart, please. Once you have your WSRR server object configured, the next step that you'll need to do is to actually create the subscription for this WSDL that is in WSRR. And as before, the path to create a WSRR subscription within Data Power Web GUI is shown in the bullet. It's under Object Services WSRR Subscription, where you actually provide the name of the WSDL that you're subscribing to, and you provide the namespace as it's in the WSDL, and you also provide the WSRR server that you just created in the earlier step. The synchronization method by default is polling, I believe, and you definitely want to leave it as polling. The other option is to change it to manual, but if you change it to manual, then again, you know, you're going back to using web service proxy subscription or web service proxy using a WSDL and not using subscription to WSRR, because every time there is a change in WSRR, you'll have to manually perform the synchronization for the subscription, and that will defeat the purpose of trying to introduce dynamic service lookups. So it's recommended that you leave the synchronization method to polling, and the refresh interval is 120 seconds, which is the time when data power will check for updates from WSRR. Next chart, please. Now that we've ensured we've created the WSRR server object and the WSRR subscription object, we're now, you know, moving towards the web services proxy definition, which is the definition that needs to be created to actually subscribe to a service in WSRR. And this is done by through the DataPower web GUI. You click on web service proxy and you provide a proxy name. In this case, we call it auto service proxy, and you click on the create web service proxy button, which will lead us to the next chart that shows the various properties that you need to fill as you create this web service proxy definition within DataPower. On this chart, I've captured both the WSRR properties are the properties that shows up in the WSRR user interface that's to your right, and the properties that show up in the web services proxy within the DataPower web GUI that's on your left. And I've kind of showed you where each of those properties go, as in the WSDL name goes into the object name, the namespace, obviously it goes into the namespace field. If you're using versioning and want to subscribe to a specific version of the WSDL, then you have to provide the version of the WSDL within the WSDL version property in DataPower. However, keep in mind that this is a newly supported feature within DataPower 3.7.1. It is not available in the earlier DataPower releases, just so you know. And if there is a problem with the version number, and this is something that Chin might cover later, but I just want to mention that if you provide a version number that is not available for that specific WSDL in WSRR, then the synchronization will actually fail. So it's important that you provide the correct version number as you create your web service proxy. Next page, please. This will move on to further steps into DataPower configuration, and the next step is, of course, creating the HTTP front-side handler. And at this point, I'd like to turn this over to Chin as we get more into DataPower configuration.
Thank you, Prasad. And as Prasad has mentioned, that we have already configured the WSR object and WSSR subscription and the WS proxy. Now we are just trying to configure the front-side handler. The front-side handler basically refers to the local endpoint where you can define what kind of port number, what is the local address, and what kind of protocol that you use for getting the request. So in this particular file, you will see that we have selected the HTTP front-side handler, and the port number is 5080, and the local IP address we have taken at 0.0.0.0, but you can change that to the local interface, what the device is listening to. So once you select this information, then you probably apply, and therefore you'll be able to save this local endpoint front-side handler. So next slide, please. So this basically shows that you have completed the web services proxy configuration, and that's what you are seeing, that your the whistle status showing as okay. If you see there is error or it is showing as synchronizing, then you'll wait for the synchronization to complete. Or if there is an error, you can check what went wrong in your configuration. Therefore, we're going to cover those steps later on. But since that the OK is showing E here, it means that all your configuration went well, and now we are ready to see whether the all the objects, all the associated objects relating to the web services proxy are working correctly, and we have all the information for our test. So next slide, please. Now here, we are trying to just show you some of the information that you'll be looking for. The reason that we are showing this, because in case there is an error, some of this information will help you to debug. But in our situation, everything went fine. Therefore, we see that these things are showing as clear as, you know, visible as the status showing okay. The one thing that we are looking here is the WSRR subscription status. If you see that the WSSR subscription status, the status menu shows okay, and the synchronization method or showing poll and other things like those are good signs that you are doing pretty good. So that is just a verification for your configuration. And next slide, please. This is a description that what I talked to you earlier, that, you know, whenever you see the subscription status, that you'll see the status menu, the synchronization method, and the refresh interval, and the number of widgets. So go to the next slide, please. This is also another object. It's called WSSR subscription service status. This is a very important status, because this information, if you see on your configuration, it means that the WSDL is being fetched, it has been configured correctly, and the information that you will be able to see, that proves that everything is working okay. Now, if you look at the subscription, it has the name, the specific URI, which is a bunch of numbers that shows here, that refers to the URI which is generated by the WSRR server, and the WSDL name, the location, and the description. All these informations are coming from the WSRR server. So that shows that everything is working here. All the information that I need is there. Therefore, I'm fine. So now, next slide, please. This is basically that we have talked about the name, the BSR URI, the name of the WSDL, the location and description, which you saw also in the previous slide. So next slide, please. So this is just a slide showing that we are trying to send a request to our configure object, the web services proxy object, and that request, when it goes, it will go to the request rule and will also pass through the endpoint and will provide you a response. So that on this screen, you see that the request is given as an example using a call as the client, and once you get that request to the service, and the service goes to the process and provides you a response. And if you can see that we are using the order service proxy object, web services proxy object, and that's what you see, that there is an order ID called ID_123456. So this simply showing that my test was successful. When I send a request, I'm getting a response back, and probably you will verify whether the correct response you are getting or not. And those kind of things you will have to examine to make sure that your configuration is working correctly. Next slide, please. Now we are going to come back to the error handling situation. In the web services proxy, we have a request rule and we have a response rule. Those are things which are defined by the web services proxy automatically when you create that object. But if you want to handle some error situations, like for example, if your endpoint doesn't match, or if the request is malformed, you know, it doesn't have enough information, so that kind of situation, you will find that there are errors happen, and how can we customize the error message to the client, therefore the error can be a meaningful message. The web services proxy has three levels of the error handling. The one we call it as the service level or the operation level or the port level. And even you can also handle the error in each rule, like a request rule or the response rule. But in our example, we have shown you how to use the error rule to handle the error message, but there is also an on-error action which you can use to handle the error message for each specific rule. Next slide, please. This is a slide where we try to configure the error rule. As you note that we have already said as the request rule, the response rule, but we're going to add an error rule at the service level. But you can also add error rule at the operation level or at the port level. So in the proxy tab, when you see that you have different tabs on the web services proxy, the WSDL tab, the SLM tab, the services tab, and the policy tab. So when you click policy tab, you'll be able to see all the rules, the request rule, the response rule, and the different operations and the ports. So in our example, we are going to add an error rule at the policy level, sorry, service level. So next slide, please. So once we say click add, you will see this particular picture. This particular picture has three actions. And these three actions I'll explain to you so that, you know, you can configure the error rule. The first action is called the matching rule, where you want to match a particular code, particular event. So in our case, we're going to match the event codes from the data power. So the event codes or error codes that are generated when there is an error happened in the processing of the multistage. So we have chosen to select the error codes, and the next action I have taken as a set variable using certain data power specific variables to define certain parameters. And the last action is a transform action where we are taking certain error messages from the device and trying to create a custom message so that we can send that message to the client. So next slide, please. This is the error rule configuration where, you know, the set variable action is being defined. So in data power, you have a input context, you have a processing policy, and then you have an output context. In our case, here the input is the input context, and the variable what we are setting here is the service error protocol response. That value is being set to 200. The reason being that whenever the developer generates an error, it sets that variable to 500, which means internal error. We don't want to send an internal error to the client. So that's why as a best practice, we set that to 200, which means okay. Now, once we set that, the error message can be sent back to the client. If you don't set that to 200, you will not be able to send the error message or the custom error message. So that's why we have to set, by using a set variable action, this can also be done by using a style sheet. So we have taken as an example of using the data power variable here. Next slide, please. Next, this is the place where we are trying to configure the transform action, where we are trying to capture some of the error messages, error codes, and then creating the message by using a style sheet. And the same way that you have the input context, the output context, and the processing control file. I'm at the slide number 26. For those who are looking at the PDF file. So in the processing control file, so we are using a style sheet called show fault style sheet, and that style sheet I'll explain to you a little bit in the next slide, please. This is the style sheet that we have used in our example. Here, if you notice, that we are using certain data power variable called the transaction ID, the error code, the error message. And these variables are available in the multi-steps that we constructed. So that's what, it gets these values. And all we are doing is capturing those values and then putting that into a SOAP message. And then that message is becoming our custom error message. So that's what this style sheet is showing here. Next slide, please. Once you, these are the steps that I already described to you how to create the error handling or custom error message. So basically, we already gone through that, you add the rule, make the rule type as error, then you set certain actions like the matching rule, set variable action, and the transform action. And next slide, please. And basically, this is also showing the steps that we have taken how to configure the error rule. So these are different steps. So go ahead, please. Next slide, please. Now we are on the slide number 30. This is where we are testing if our custom error message is providing the right message or not. So now in the call command, I'm using a different input where I know that it has got some error. So I send that message or the request to the service, and then I'm getting an error message, a custom error message that shows that there is a schema error in element that shows that, the error message is showing that service order service, an element order of type, order found, but next item should be item. So this is basically showing that there is an error. That error message, which was generated by DataPower, was captured and then it was sent back to the client. And you can see that also at the end we have captured the transaction ID. Therefore, you can go back to the log file in case, you are debugging or you are trying to find what is happening. Then you can go back and relate that transaction ID to the log so that you can see why this particular error happened, whether it is something related to the service or the operation, or it is something related to the input. In this case, we know that it is related to input because I am sending an error request. So go to the next slide, please. So up to now, we have shown you how you can take the web services proxy object and the error rule to capture some customized errors. But there are situations where these things may not be enough to capture or to debug some of these issues that you may be able to, you know, you may be able to see. So therefore, we are going to try to explain some of the other debugging features available in DataPower or troubleshooting features. DataPower has got a very extensive system logging. So the that's what I think we are trying to use the system logging as well as the DataPower, the probe capturing, the file capturing, and the statistics. Then we'll also mention that what you need to see as a sanity check about your web services or proxy. In the system logging, next slide, please. First thing that you have to do is to enable the system log to a debug level. DataPower has about 7 levels of logging, starting from emergency all the way to debug. So from the troubleshooting menu, from the troubleshooting, you know, control panel troubleshooting, you will see that there is a logging feature, and then you select from the drop-down menu to debug and, you know, click the set log level. That will enable you to set your logging to debug. But the default is error. So whenever there is an error, you will see some messages in the log, but debug will provide you all the messages that all, you know, covering the multi-steps, going from step one all the way to the end. So this is one way to see if you are getting all the messages and where the message is showing, how you will be able to diagnose why that particular message is showing in the log. The other part, next slide, please. Now, suppose you see the system log and you didn't make any sense out of it, or there is not enough information in the system log, then you'll be able to come back to the probe information. The probe is a feature, is a very nice feature in DataPower that basically captures the data for each transaction and for each action that it processes in the multi-step, in your request rule, in your response rule, as well as in the error rule. So in order to use this probe feature, you have to enable the probe first. So same way, from the troubleshooting menu, you will come back to the probe menu or probe tab and select the particular service, and then you will add the probe so that that service is now enabled to capture the probe data. After you enable the probe probing, then you will send some requests, you know, some transactions to test, and then you will be able to see some of the probe data in the device from the probe menu. So next slide, please. Here is an example of some of the transactions that we have sent to service, and you see that there is a there are two transactions. One transaction only showing as a request, the other transaction they're showing as a request and response. So you'll see that the transaction IDs are identical for both request and response. And each request, you'll see that how the data is being captured, and also the same way for the response. Next slide, please. Here is the example of the request. And in the probe data, when you open that request, you'll see different tabs as content or headers or attachments, or the local variables, or the context variables, or global variables. As you move through the multi-step, these information will change. But at least you have the opportunity to examine these information and then try to see whether your request is being coming to the device correctly and is modified or transformed in a way that you expect. inspect if there is any missing link or there is any problem. So the next slide, please. This is also same way that, you know, the output context of the response, and the response that, you know, you examine the request as well as the response, and that's what you see where this problem is happening, whether it is in the request rule or in the response rule, and each step will show you that. Next slide, please. If you could not figure out from the two sources, the system log or the probe data, we have also, the data para also has another feature called the XML file capture. XML file capture is being done from the default domain. So you go to the default domain, from the troubleshooting menu, you will enable the XML file capture. So all you say that from the drop-down menu, you select all. It has got three levels, all or error or none. So you select all, and then you click XML file capture. Your XML file capture will be enabled. Now you send your request a couple of times, you know, for a test, for a few test cases, and then the data is captured from request to the response all through, and you'll be created in the temporary directory of that domain, in the default domain. So you can get the data, and you can send the data to, you know, for somebody else to look at what is happening, why I'm getting some problem or something like that. Or you can send it to the data for support. So this is a very nice feature that if you could not figure out from the probe or the system log, then you can get this particular feature called the XML file capture. You know, we don't want to advertise. We have also another feature called packet capture, but we don't want to advertise that, but that will be the last resort. And that part probably we didn't mention here, but that is probably when you deal with the data power support, and the support may need that kind of data, and they will be talking to you guys if there is more data necessary. But at this time, these are information that you can get it from the device, and then you'll be able to debug some of the problems that you face when you have, you know, a service that is being configured and is working, but suddenly it's not working now, or sometimes it might have changed something that caused this kind of, you know, problem. Next slide, please. The last thing is that after you have taken all the steps as part of a sanity check, it is a good idea to see that all the information that you have configured in your service matches to, you know, the request coming and the response going up. So you should think about, you know, whether your web services proxy is active and listening on the port. There may be situations that the port which you have configured might be conflicting with another port if somebody else has already, you know, added. So those are the things that you just want to take as a sanity check. Same way the local endpoint URI is correct. You know, whatever the request is coming at the URI syntax and the URI that you are using in the local endpoint, they should match. If not, then you'll see that there will be an error. So those kind of things you can check in the system log. Then the service received the request. You know, it means that when you send the request, there may be network problem. Network, you know, so you must check whether the service has received the request, and debugging the log level, when you set the debugging, you will see those kind of information in the log. Soap action and operation E are in agreement. So that means whatever soap action you are sending or the WSDL has, those are agreement with your request. Then the automatic schema validation for the request and for the response are happening. Those are things you can also see that from the log. The backend service is active and available. you know, you can test those things outside of the data file or even using data file. We have a feature called TCP connection test from the troubleshooting menu, and you can see those test results as well. These are some of the sanity check we are just recommending so that you know that the way that you expect certain requests to come, some the request to be transformed and the response to be obtained, these things are coming and going, and that is happening in your device. Next slide, please. Now I'm going to hand over to Prasad, and then he will just summarize the presentation today.
Thank you, Jim. Right, we're pretty much close to the end of this presentation, and to do a quick summary of what we talked about this past hour. We started with the ESB gateway pattern that this integration fits very well, and then we talked about service virtualization and how you can achieve it, with the key focus being dynamic service lookups as opposed to static, which will enable any changes within the backends to be automatically picked up by data power, and will provide decoupling of service requesters and service providers. We have provided you with a stepwise approach to configuring integrating data power with WSRR, and I hope the steps are clear enough and are helpful to you as you go through this integration scenario. And Chin has covered the error handling, which you could use so you handle errors if there are any as you go through this integration. And of course, we've covered the troubleshooting techniques that are available within the data power device to help you out if in case you have a problem. We have provided some references in the next chart. Definitely would encourage you to take a look at those references. The first reference, you'd probably find the first reference very helpful, as it actually has some artifacts that you could use to try this scenario out. I mean, it actually has the order service wisdom and the service application, the ear file, in case you want to just try it out as a sample to see how this works. With that, we come to an end of this presentation, and also just to mention, for those of you who are interested in CLI commands, the commands for this configuration are provided at the end of this presentation. We are not going to cover those commands in the best interest of time, but if you are looking for the exact commands you can use to achieve this configuration, I just wanted to remind you that they're there, included in this presentation towards the end of this presentation. That concludes this presentation, and we are open for question and answers. Or at this point, I'll turn over to Elijah to open the line for question and answers.
Thank you, Prasad and Chin, for a great presentation.
And Mr. Robertson, it appears we have no questions.
All right. At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Webshare Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today. Thank you, Prasad and Chin, for presenting today.
Thank you all, and thank you, Elijah.
Yeah, thank you all.